Praise God. Amen. Esther chapter 3. Amen. We know that sundown this evening begins the festival of Purim. We preached out of Esther chapter 9 on Sunday morning. Amen. Praise God. And talked about some about the feast, some of the things. Amen. We're going to talk a little bit more tonight. Amen. Just by the leading of the Lord. The Lord just led me here tonight. Amen. So we want to go in to that chapter 3. We're just going to read the first five verses. Amen. Everybody that's able to stand for the reading of the Word of God. Amen. Praise God. I'm thankful tonight for the goodness of the Lord. Amen. Praise God. I'm irritated before service got started. The air's not working. And that speaker's not working. Amen. Praise God. And so I was just a bit frustrated. I'm hot. So I know if you are too, we're all hot together. It's much cooler downstairs, but we're up here. So anyhow, amen. Praise God. If you caught a little bit of my irritability just before service started, forgive me. Confession is good for the soul. Amen. But hallelujah. It's frustrating. Amen. But it is what it is. Amen. We will figure it out. Praise the Lord. It's supposed to be 49 on Sunday. So you're good. Amen. That's the high. Hallelujah. So all is well. Praise God. But anyway, Esther chapter 3. Amen. Confession is good for the soul. Praise God. Took me about midway second song.
to get free
from irritability. Hallelujah. Going back, might as well be real, right?
Yeah,
hallelujah.
Yeah.
Praise God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Yeah. Esther chapter 3, verse 1. Amen. Everybody got it. Say amen.
Amen.
Amen. After these things, did King Ahasuerus promote Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the Agagite, and advanced him and set his seat above all the princes that were with him. And all the king's servants that were in the king's gate bowed and reverenced Haman, for the king had so commanded concerning him. But Mordecai bowed not, nor Amen. Did him reverence. Then the king's servants were in the king's gate, said unto Mordecai, Why transgressest thou the king's commandment? Now it came to pass, when they spoke daily unto him, and he hearkened not unto them, that they told Haman to see whether Mordecai's matters would stand, for he had told them that he was a Jew. And when Haman saw that Mordecai bowed not, nor did him reverence, then Haman was full of wrath. Amen. We're going to blast the shofar. We want you to give the Lord praise tonight. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Simply on this thought, I refuse to bow. Amen. I refuse to bow. Look at the neighbor if you can and say, I refuse to bow. Praise God. Again, we know that sundown, amen, here on this side of the world, this evening begins the Festival of Purim. Amen. It ends at sundown tomorrow. Amen. But we also know that tonight is, amen, a blood moon, a full lunar eclipse. Amen. It's going to be in the middle of the night. The full eclipse is going to be somewhere between 2:30 and 3:30. So if you're like me and you're usually awake, amen, about that time, slip out. And as far as I know, the sky should be clear and there should be no reason why we can't see it. Amen. But anyway, just a lot happening and a lot taking place. Amen. Remember we said on Sunday there was a blood moon on Purim last year, and there's going to be one next year on Purim. So 3 years in a row will be a blood moon on the Festival of Purim. I don't know what significance it has. Amen. Praise God. But we know that there's no such thing as coincidence. Amen. If nothing else, while God has disappointment already set, amen, he had everything set before we ever knew it. Amen. While he's got Purim set, and we're focusing on the power and the deliverance of God and the faithfulness of our God. Amen. He's going to remind us as we look to the sky. The Bible says, amen, that in the last days, amen, the sun, amen, will darken. The moon will turn to blood. I don't know if it's a blood moon in that way or not, but it still gets our mind thinking there, right? And we're looking up. Praise God. So shining. No matter how it is, praise God, we can see the signs around us. Amen. But we already know that the crux of the story of Esther is her willingness to go before the king on behalf of her people. That's really the climax, the crux of the story that led up to Purim, amen, which just means lots in the Hebrew, praise God. And we know that she had to go before the king because of the plot to exterminate all of the Jewish nation, amen, that Haman had went before the king, amen, and a decree had been made by the king, praise God. And so that plot resulted in that decree by the king, amen. We know that it was sent out, amen, to all 127 provinces in Persia, amen, where all the Jews, amen, were dwelling because of exile, praise God. And so Esther's faithfulness to God and to her people really reflected in her spirit to be ready to give her life if she had to. She said, because we know that it was against the law to make a request to the king. You had to be requested by the king. Even though she was the queen, she still was not allowed to just go into the king and make a request. But she said, if I die, I die. If I perish, I perish. But for such a time as this, amen, I'm here and I will do it. So we see her faithfulness to God and to her people reflected in her spirit. Amen. But we need to look at what prompted Haman, who was the prime minister of King Ahasuerus' kingdom, who was the king of Persia. He was the prime minister. He was literally second in command, if you will, to the king. Amen. We need to look at why Haman wanted to get rid of the Jewish people. We know, amen, that the crux, as we said, was Esther being willing to go in and sacrifice her life before the king, amen, on behalf of her people. But I want to look tonight at what prompted Haman to want to get rid of the Jewish people. The Bible tells us that Haman was being promoted, amen, and he was above all of his fellow officers. Now, he was being promoted again to the prime minister in the king's court. Amen. And so the Bible tells us that as Haman was promoted, amen, was being promoted and advanced in the kingdom, that all the king's servants, amen, that were at the king's gate, they would kneel and bow before Haman, amen, because the king ordered it. The king then ordered them to kneel and bow before Haman. So every time, amen, the king's servants, amen, were at the gate, they would bow to Haman. But Mordecai would neither kneel nor would he bow. Now remember, Mordecai was also part of the king's court, but he was not, amen, in the place that Haman was. Amen. So every day when they would kneel and they would bow down to Haman, amen, Mordecai refused to do either. He would not kneel nor would he bow. Now the servants of the king, as we read to you, confronted Mordecai, amen, and he ignored them. The Bible tells us that they did this many times. Several times did they confront Mordecai about why he would not bow before Haman. Amen. They confronted him several times, but he ignored them. Finally, the Bible says that Mordecai told them he was a Jew, so he was not going to bow. Amen. So they told Haman about it. Now remember, Mordecai told Haman, I'm a Jew, so I'm not going to bow to Haman. Amen. So they went to Haman about it. Amen. They wanted to see, the Bible said, if this was a legitimate reason, if it was a valid reason for Mordecai to not bow because he was a Jew. Amen. They wanted to see if Haman would be okay with that. Was that a valid reason for him to not bow? But the Bible says that it made Haman furious because Mordecai would not bow to him. So much so that he wanted to kill Mordecai. But the Bible tells us that he thought it would be a waste just to kill Mordecai. So he decided that it would be best to wipe out all of the Jews. Amen. All of the Jews and all of the kings. Amen. Dwelling, praise God, in all of the king's country. That it would be best to wipe them all out. So, amen, this set in motion, amen, that desire to annihilate them all. See, if one won't bow, Mordecai was part of the king's court, amen, he might have an influence on other Jews, and just maybe they would begin to not bow either, and Mordecai or Haman could not put up with that. So, now the Bible says that as a result of this, that they began to cast lots. Amen. We told you on Sunday, we reminded you that lots were like dice. Amen. So they would, these were rolled like dice, and these would make decisions. You see this throughout, amen, the Old Testament. And they would often do it in somebody's lap. But the Bible says that every day they were casting lots for every month. And the Bible says that they began to do this on the month of Nisan. The month of Nisan was the first month of the year. So that would have been April. Amen. We know that April is, amen, the first month of the year in the birthday, if you will, of the Jews as a nation and their deliverance from out of Egypt. So this would have been the first month of the year that they begin to cast lots, amen, to try to get a date, a number to come up to decide what month and what date, amen, to annihilate and get rid of the Jewish nation. So we know that that day ended up being, the day was the 13th, and the month was Adar. Adar was the last month. It would have been March. So March would have been the last month. April was the first month. So they began casting lots on the first month of the year to get the date. They did it every day until, amen, the day came up. Amen. And so it came up the 13th day of the month of Adar. Amen. So here's what you need to understand about that. That there was 11 months time that would pass between the time that they got the date to exterminate the Jews until the date, amen, that the annihilation was to take place. So there was 11 months, amen, that was in between, amen, them getting the date and the date of death. Amen. So you have to remember that when the king, when Haman went before the king, amen, and he convinced the king to make a decree to annihilate all of the Jews, amen, and they sent out the letters to all 127 provinces. Every province had a leader, amen. Every province had an army, amen. There were, amen, leaders of all of these provinces. So you got to remember that all of these leaders in all of these provinces would have been bound by this decree to kill the Jews on that one day. So imagine, amen, getting that decree. The Jews, amen, found out about the decree. So imagine getting that decree, amen, and knowing that in 11 months, amen, you were going to be, your date of death, amen, your end was decided. And the king had decreed, amen, that they all be killed on that one day, amen. So this decree was irrevocable. Amen. You remember, if you read the story, amen, that they took the king's ring and they dipped it in the hot wax and they sealed, amen, the letter with the king's signet. And when anything came with the king's signet on it from his signet ring, amen, that was the king's signature. That meant that this decree was irrevocable, that there were no circumstances, nothing that could change that decree. Amen. So realize now that the situation, amen, that Mordecai was in. See, here's what you got to understand. There was nothing in the Torah about bowing down to a human. It was not forbid to bow and give honor to another human being in the Torah. But this vow that Haman was and the king had decreed, this vow was to bow and to take a knee. So not only would they were they to bow, but they were to take a knee and bow to Haman. Now, it's one thing to bow and to honor, but taking a knee, amen, is obeisance or worship. Amen. So it was not only honoring him with a bow, but it was also getting on a knee and bowing. So this was the same as worshiping Haman. Now the Torah does, amen, forbid the worship of any other idol or any other person other than God. So we can conclude that this is what Mordecai would have meant by the fact that he was a Jew, that he only bowed and worshiped, amen, one, and that was the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That he would not bow and worship, amen, Haman, because it was against the word of God. Are you with me, amen, tonight? So it wasn't that it was wrong to bow and to honor another human being, but it was wrong to worship him. Amen. This was something only done to God. Hallelujah. Also keep in mind that Haman was an Agagite. Amen. Now Mordecai was a descendant of the King Saul. He was a descendant of Saul, who was the son of Kish. Amen. You remember when Saul disobeyed the Lord and he went, amen, to destroy the Amalekites. King Agag was king over the Amalekites, and he was supposed to destroy them all. Amen. But the Bible tells us that, amen, Saul, he spared King Agag and also, amen, some of the spoil. When Samuel went in, he said, "What is the bleeding of the sheep and the cows that I hear?" Amen. Saul was excited and said, "Oh, I did what the Lord said." But Samuel's like, "Why do I hear, amen, the sound of sheep bleeding, amen, and cows mooing? Why do I hear that?" Amen. And then there was King Agag. Hallelujah. And we know that Saul, amen, his anointing was cut off, amen, because he spared King Agag, who was, amen, a vile king, amen. So not only was, hallelujah, it against the word to bow and worship, but I can imagine Haman or Mordecai thinking, you know what? Amen. He's a descendant of King Agag. Hallelujah. I am a descendant of Saul. We're not supposed to bow and give honor. And if I do that, it's like a kick in the face. Amen. To the power and the authority of God. So we can only conclude again. Hallelujah. Amen. That Mordecai refused to bow because he wasn't going to give anything or anyone reverence and honor but God, and that caused the enemy's resistance. Can I tell you, amen, that the enemy of our soul wants us to give honor and reverence to him? And you say, "I don't worship Satan. I have no way I would bow and, amen, bend the knee to Satan." But when we let the things that he puts before us hinder our worship, our relationship with God, if we are not careful, amen, we're going to be bowing and giving honor, amen, to the things that he, amen, puts in our mind and our heart. Hallelujah. So we got to be careful tonight, amen, that we're not going to bow, amen, to the enemy's notions, to his lies. Amen. We're not going to give honor to him. Remember during Purim this year, we challenged you, amen. It's a time when we're not to give the enemy any attention, as well, amen, as give gifts, amen, to those in need. So we challenge you on Sunday, that beginning tonight. Well, tonight get a challenge, hallelujah. Amen, but beginning tonight, amen, crucify down tomorrow, amen, don't give the enemy any attention when he comes in and he speaks, amen, the lies. Don't stop in your tracks and have a conversation with him. Don't acknowledge what he's saying. Don't let your face reflect what he's putting in your mind when he's sending somebody, amen, to try and to hinder you and to try to cause you to stumble. Don't give it any recognition, hallelujah, but refuse to bow, hallelujah, and know that the God that was there for Esther and Mordecai, that delivered their people, is the God that's for us today. Hallelujah. And he's still a delivering God. Come on, somebody. Give him praise right there. Hallelujah. Give him praise right there. Hallelujah. We know that Esther went before the king to request, amen, that Haman, she worked it, that she was going to reveal that Haman, amen, that she was a Jew. And so if her people, if all the Jews were exterminated, she would have to be exterminated, amen, and killed and done away with as well. Hallelujah. So we know, amen, that all of the details that God orchestrated, amen, that she went before the king and he did not punish her, amen, amen, but he accepted her request. So she went before him and was received without consequence, amen, and she was able to have Haman killed, amen. We know that Haman was hung on the gallows. He built a gallows, I believe that it's about 50 foot tall it was. I'm not really sure. My memory is failing me, praise God. But Haman had that built to have Mordecai hung on. Amen. But it turned around, amen, that Haman was hung on that gallows. Amen. And Mordecai was elevated, amen, and promoted to, amen, Haman's position. He took the ring off of Haman. Come on, somebody. Amen. You might get that a little bit later. He took the ring off of Haman's finger and he put it on Mordecai. And Mordecai, hallelujah, amen, was paraded through Shushan, amen, on a horse in a royal blue and white garment and a robe of purple of fine linen with a large gold crown on his head. And he gave Mordecai that ring. Hallelujah. Praise God. And Haman was destroyed. Now understand, amen, a lot of people don't really realize, I don't think, that this decree could not be rescinded. Amen. That decree to annihilate the Jews on the 13th of Adar, which is March on our calendar, on the 13th day of March. Amen. Praise God. That would have been today, if I can say it like that. Hallelujah. That decree could not be rescinded. Remember, the king sealed it with his ring, and it couldn't be rescinded. Hallelujah. So the Bible says, amen, that the king gave Esther, amen, the signet ring. He gave Esther, amen, that signet ring. And she was given the authority, amen, to send a new decree to all 127 provinces. Amen. Are you with me tonight? Hallelujah. Haman was stripped of his authority. He was stripped of his power. It was given to Mordecai. Amen. The king gave, amen, Esther his ring. Amen. And hallelujah. The Bible says, amen, that she made a decree. He told her, he said, amen, make a decree. Amen, do whatever it is that needs to be done. Here's my ring. I give you my authority that you can do what needs to be done. I'm trying not to preach, amen, ahead of myself tonight. Amen, but she made a decree, amen, granting the Jews the right to assemble and the right to defend their lives by destroying, killing, and exterminating anyone who attacked them. Are you with me tonight? Hallelujah. So, amen, the original decree that was given, amen, on the first month that was sent out said that on the 13th day of Adar, amen, all of the Jews, prepare your battle, prepare your soldiers, get ready leaders, because on that day, be prepared, because all the Jews in your province need to be killed and exterminated, and they cannot resist you. Hallelujah. But now the Bible says that on the 23rd day of the month of Sivan, hallelujah, which was 2 months later, the third month of the year, hallelujah, so they get a decree on the first, amen, month of the year, that on the 11th month, hallelujah, or on the 12th month, they're going to be exterminated. 2 months passes, and then comes another decree, and the Bible says that Esther had the secretaries. She had it written in everybody's language, even in Hebrew for the Jews to read. Amen, because she was going to make sure, amen, that everybody understood, hallelujah, that even though, amen, the law said, amen, that by rights the Jews, according to the king's law, the Jews were to be annihilated on the 13th of Adar. Amen, another decree came. Hallelujah, she had it written. She took the signet ring, dipped it in the wax, sealed it up. It had the king's seal on it. Amen, the Bible says, amen, then 2 months later, here comes another letter in the mail, if I can say it like that. Here comes another decree, amen, that says, guess what? God has taken what the enemy meant for evil, and he's turned it around for good. Oh, hallelujah. You don't have to sit back and take what the enemy has declared. You do not have to march and let them overtake you, but you got a right to come together. You got a right to rejoice. You got a right to assemble. There ain't nobody that has a right to tell you you can't come together, and you, anybody that even lifts a hand to take you out, you have been given the authority by the declaration of the king to take them out. Whatever it takes, you can destroy them. I need somebody to help me on this Perine 2025. This ain't a deep message, but it's what the Lord laid in my spirit. I said, God, I don't want to preach on Perine again. Hallelujah. But he always reminds me, it's none of my business. I'm just a messenger. I don't make, amen, the choices. Are you with me? But I come tonight to remind somebody, hallelujah, listen. Verse 14 in chapter 8, amen, says that the couriers, when Esther, amen, sent out this decree, that the couriers, amen, or the mailmen, if I can say it like that, got on the fastest horses, and they began to take those decrees, even though it was only the third month of the year, and there, come on somebody, do you hear me? And there were 5 more months left. God wanted his people, Esther wanted her people to know ASAP, it ain't going to be what the enemy said it was going to be. The Holy Ghost has done come by your way to bring a witness from heaven that says the enemy may have a decree and declare that it's over, but you hold meantime, everybody say that, in the meantime, Mordecai and I went out, as we already mentioned, but it's worth mentioning again, because it's just how the favor of the Lord works. Mordecai and I went out on the horse with that royal blue and white. And the Bible says, the Jewish translation, Hebrew translation of it says, a large golden crown on his head. The signet ring. He was now second in command to King Ahasuerus. Second in command. Ooh, hallelujah. And he had on a robe of purple made of fine linen and was out in the town square. And the Bible says that the Jews, see, we have permission to shout before the breakthrough happens. So Mordecai was going through the city showing that he had authority. And the Bible says when the Jews got the second decree from Esther that they had gladness and joy and a holiday. So they stopped everything and they rejoiced, even though, now see, here's what you got to understand. No, I think sometimes it's in people's minds that they forget that the Jews still had to fight the battle. God didn't just spare their lives. The decree, the 13th day of Adar, was still set. And there was going to be a day of battle. But the role was reversed. God made them the head and not the tail.
Come on.
Amen. He made them, amen, the first and not the last. He reversed the roles. Are you with me? Hallelujah. And they rejoiced so much so, amen, that the Bible says that many people of the land became Jews because they feared the Jews. So, if I can say it and put it in relevant terms, so that seems to be the cultural norm, revival happened. Because these people of the land who once had the decree to annihilate and to completely delete and kill every Jew in 11 months, now the role was reversed and the Jews were now, listen, the decree was there. They had, the people of the province had to go to the Jews. Are you with me? They couldn't say, oh, no, we're not going to fight that battle. We're going to stay in bed on the 13th day of Adar. No, it was the king's decree. It was against the law to break or go against the king's decree. So they had to show up for battle. Are you with me?
Mm-hmm.
They had to show up, but instead of them taking out the Jews, they knew the Jews had permission to take them out. So they said, we want to become one of them, so we're the ones taken out, not being taken out. Come on, somebody. If God be for us,
come on.
Who can be against us? Amen? No weapon formed against us shall prosper. This is the heritage given to everyone who has been grafted in. Everyone who declares they are an heir and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. Are you with me today? Look at your neighbor and say it again. I refuse to bow.
I refuse to bow.
So they were afraid of the Jews. Because the second decree trumps the first one. The first one still was irrevocable, had to be fulfilled. But the second one said, you have to show up and you will be killed. Imagine that. Imagine that. The Bible says, I was thinking about that, and how they had to show up knowing that the Jews had authority over them. Think about that. Get spiritual with me now. The Bible says the enemy is as a roaring lion.
Right.
Are you with me?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Right? Amen? He's as a roaring lion. And see, what he wants to do is he wants to wear us down to make us think that he's in control.
Right.
So he's going to keep roaring and roaring because
right.
he's angry.
Right.
He knows that, amen, he's going to show up. But he knows that when he shows up, that if we understand who we are in Christ, if we understand that we now have been, amen, given the authority, we now have the authority that anything that comes against us, we have the authority and the right to take it out. Amen, makes him angry. So he's going to keep roaring. Amen, and he thinks he's going to, amen, he tries to wear us down. Are you with me? Hallelujah. I've been weary of the roaring. Amen, in this season. I will tell you, amen, that I've become weary of the roaring because he doesn't stop roaring. Listen to me. Amen. Amen, but listen to this. In the Old Testament, if the king was angry at you, amen, you would fear that because of judgment that was coming. So if the king was angry, amen, at anyone, amen, they would be afraid because they knew that judgment was coming. But guess what, amen, in the Old Testament that the king's anger was called? It was called roaring. Amen. So if the king was roaring, he was angry. And you knew that judgment was coming. But I got to thinking, amen, hallelujah. The enemy lost, listen, if you pay any attention, amen, to what's going on in the church world, there's a lot happening, amen, within the body of Christ, within the church, amen, as a whole, praise God. And there's a lot of things coming out and a lot of accuser of the brethren, amen, that's being thrown around, amen, against a lot of people because, amen, sin is getting exposed. Amen. Evil is being brought to light. Amen. So those, amen, they think that people are just going to go away. So if they roar long enough, amen, the people will just back off. Hallelujah. Are you with me? That I got to thinking, amen. Listen, the only accuser of the brethren there is Satan, right? The Bible says he is the accuser of the brethren. But I got to thinking that he lost his right to accuse us who, the children of God, because Jesus satisfied all the claims of the law that was on us. So when he comes in and accuses us, amen, of this and of that, hallelujah, he lost his right to do that because Jesus, every claim that the law of God had against us, Jesus satisfied every one of them. I need somebody to help me in this place. So I got to thinking about that. That's why the Bible says he's as a roaring lion. Amen. Seeking whom he may devour. And if I can put that in hillbilly terms, amen, he might be roaring, but he ain't got no teeth. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. When you think about a roaring lion, you see those Jesus cried, it is finished. Hallelujah. I remember a testimony years and years ago. Amen. Of a preacher. Amen. Who had a dream. And he would dream every night about this dog chasing him and barking at him and growling and chasing him until he would climb up the tree. Amen. Because that dog would chase him. And he kept having this dream. Hallelujah. Amen. Until one night in the dream, a voice spoke to him and said, look down at the dog. And when he looked down at the dog didn't have any teeth. So he ran all those times, amen, simply because of the bark. But the bark had no bite. Somebody better help me in this place. The enemy, amen, thinks he can accuse you and wear you down and keep you. But you don't have to bow because he lost his right to be an accuser of those of us. Hallelujah. Amen. He lost his teeth. So let him roar. He doesn't have face the battle, but the enemy cannot destroy us unless we battle.
Right.
Unless we respond.
Come on.
To, oh, somebody help me. Amen. I'm not going to keep you very long. So despite the law of the first decree, despite the law of the first decree that the Jews, that the others had the authority, and they didn't have a choice but to destroy the Jews, despite the law of that first decree, the Jews had full legal and rightful authority to defend themselves against the first decree. So there was a time when the law was against us. There was a time when the law of God was against us because no man could fulfill it.
Right.
Right.
But there came one.
The Lamb, honey.
Who came riding on a donkey that had never been ridden on before through the city. Hosanna. Hosanna. Oh, come on. Hallelujah. The King of the universe had given him authority. Are you with me? Hallelujah. Understand me. Praise God. Had given him authority. And just like Mordecai, praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Was given the authority. Second in command to the king. Are you with me? Riding through the city on that horse. Hallelujah. Of his promotion. Jesus. Hallelujah. Came, amen, praise God, hallelujah, he came, amen, and did what man could not do. He satisfied the law. So, amen, even though the first law says that because of our sin and our transgression that we should be killed and destroyed, hallelujah, but what Jesus did to satisfy that first one, now we've been given full authority over the first law. Come on, somebody. Are you with me? To where now sin doesn't have power over us. Death doesn't have power over us. The enemy doesn't have power over us because it's been given to us. Are you with me? So they gathered on the 13th of Adar, armed and ready. So see, I'm not, I didn't come tonight to tell you that the battle's over. I just came to tell you that you are already the winner.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I didn't come to tell you that God's going to stop the enemy from coming, that the that the weapon is not going to be formed. I didn't come to tell you that, amen. I come to tell you that, amen, you're going to have to deal with the enemy. Hallelujah. You're going to have to face, amen, the attack. But I come to tell you that if you know who you are when the attack comes, go ahead and assemble yourself, worship, gather together, listen to me, get ready and be prepared. Hallelujah, because when, amen, the enemy comes in like a flood of waters, the Spirit of the Lord that is in you will raise up a standard against the enemy. Come on, somebody. And so they may draw their weapons. Hallelujah, but that weapon won't prosper because you've been armed with something, amen, that is greater than anything the enemy can bring. He knows he's defeated, but he's still going to show up. Hallelujah, because he has to. Come on, somebody. Do you hear me? He just can't help himself. Hallelujah. But, amen, when we show up for that battle, so they not only have the right to destroy them, but they also have the right to seize the enemy's goods and to plunder their spoil. I'm going to take back
come on
what the enemy has stolen. I will restore unto you the years that the locust have eaten and the cankerworm has destroyed. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. You just got to refuse to bow and show up. And when you show up armed and ready. Show up with a mind that you know who you are. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. You can take what belongs to you. Listen, those days, they fought with swords. I got to thinking, the Bible tells us that we have the sword of the Spirit. Now it's in our mouth. Touch your mouth. Now say, it's in my mouth.
It's in my mouth.
It's in my mouth. That sword of the Spirit is in my mouth. What is the sword of the Spirit? It's the Word of God. It's written. It's the Logos word. But it becomes a rhema word. Amen. It becomes a living word. It becomes alive when it's spoken. Uh-huh. So when you speak it, it becomes a sword. Are you with me? That's what you fight with. It's the Word of God. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and, amen, and wickedness in high places. Hallelujah. We're not fighting each other. Hallelujah. Praise God. We're fighting a spiritual battle. Amen. So we got the sword of the Spirit in our mouth. Hallelujah. So when we are ready and armed, the Bible says that the Jews killed 75,800 men. If you read the story, the Bible says that King A heard that they had killed 500 in Shushan. And he told Esther, he said, if they've killed 500 in Shushan, how many do you think they're going to kill everywhere else? The Bible tells us that the grand total was 75,800 people they killed. Think of that. Now that's some serious fighting.
Especially back then. Yeah.
That's not some little, you can't come to my That's showing up with a decree.
Come on.
With the authority. Amen. From the King. Hallelujah. With a sword, amen, in your hand, armed and ready, knowing that you have permission
come on.
To destroy anything that comes against you as a child of the King.
Mm-hmm.
tonight? But you got to refuse to bow. You can't bow, see? Because we know the Bible tells us that the enemy is under our feet. I gave you power, which is authority, to tread upon serpents and scorpions, to walk on them. The book of Romans says, in a short while, the Lord will come and bruise the enemy, bruise Satan under your feet. Interesting, I don't want to hang here, but it's interesting. Remember I told you, you know, so right now, as Jews are gathering, however they're gathering, remember the war is still going on over there, the threats of bombing and that is heightened right now. It's been going on since 2023, right, October the 7th of 2023. So think about, but wherever they are gathered, as they're reading the book of Esther, as they do on Purim, every time Haman's name is mentioned, they write the name of Haman on the sole of their shoe. And every time Haman's name is mentioned, they stomp and make noise so that nobody hears his name.
Right.
I should have brought my noisemaker out. Amen. It's right on my desk. Go ahead and get it for me, please. It's on my credentials right there. They make noise because the enemy is under their feet. So they don't even want to give his name. Layton had this before church, and she's like, she's playing, how does this work? I said, like this. She said, ooh, that's annoying. I said, that's the purpose. So every time Haman's name, see, and they give kids noisemakers like this, you know, we've done that before, amen. Praise God, and they stomp, amen, because the enemy is under their feet. They don't want to give him any attention. Amen. They don't want to recognize. But it's interesting that word bruise, when you study out the meaning of that word, it literally means to crush the bones, to pulverize the bones. So when Satan, I know he's a spirit, but work with me. When Satan is under our feet, he's pulverized. He's crushed all the bones, everything. You might imagine that being the form of a person that's being used by Satan. I've been there before. Thinking, But he is under your feet. I got to thinking today. I never thought about it before. But when Jesus was hanging on the cross, we know, amen, that the prophecy given in the garden was that Jesus was going to bruise, right? The head. He's going to crush the head of Satan, put him under his feet. Amen. I got to thinking today when Jesus was hanging on the cross, remember they cast lots at the foot of the cross. What for? For his robe.
Mm-hmm.
Why did they want his robe? His robe was referred to in the Hebrew as a ketunet. It's like an undergarment. It's an underrobe. But those who were wealthy and those who were royalty, theirs were very expensive and made of fine linen. And here they are casting lots at the feet of Jesus. And Jesus is about ready
Come on.
To do just like Esther did with Haman. Didn't matter that the lots were cast.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. And the date was set. Hallelujah. God reversed. Amen. What the enemy meant. Amen. But they wanted his robe because his was made of fine linen. You say, well, how is his? The Bible tells us that Mary made Jesus' robe for him, or that kind of net, that undergarment. Amen. And remember when the Magi brought them gold and frankincense,
oh.
Gifts. Mary had the means to make Jesus. So his robe was valued. It was worth something. So they were casting lots and he was going to get his robe. But I got to thinking today, here they're casting lots at the feet of Jesus. And the enemy was being put under his feet, just like it was prophesied in the garden. Amen. And there was that robe had no value. Hallelujah. Praise God, because he was about to put the enemy under his feet. Remember, we preached before. History says, amen, that Golgotha was the hill, the place of the skull. Amen. And history says that David buried Goliath, the head of Goliath, was buried there at that. And so, amen, praise God, we preached before, amen, where when the blood fell, amen, there on Golgotha, the place of the skull, amen, that giant was defeated once and for all, that every giant, everything. So however you want to look at it, whatever you want to do, no matter what the enemy tries to do, amen, he has been put under the enemy's feet. And Haman was hanged on the gallows. Amen. To me, that's a picture of Satan being defeated as Jesus hung on the cross. Because what happened? Hallelujah. Amen. He took, amen, King Ahasuerus took, amen, the authority from Haman, which represents the enemy. And he gave that authority to Mordecai. Hallelujah. Stripped the enemy of all his authority. Amen. When he resurrected, he went into the heart of the earth. Took the keys to death and hell. Hallelujah. Praise God. Stripped the enemy of his authority over the people of God. Amen. And so everything that is written is now sealed by the Holy Ghost. And if we are his, we're sealed by the same Holy Ghost until that day of redemption. So, amen, the word is sealed, we're sealed. So the enemy, amen, that what we couldn't fulfill in this law, even though it's, amen, a decree and sealed, Jesus fulfilled it. And when we take what Jesus has done and apply it to our lives, he takes the authority, amen, that he took from the enemy, and he places that ring on our finger, and now we're sealed, and the enemy cannot devour us. He's taken, amen, he's stripped of his ability to devour. Hallelujah. Amen. Now that full authority over the power of the enemy has been given to us. He's been stripped, and there is nothing he can do. All we have to do is refuse to bow. But if we don't bow, that authority, if you look in Esther chapter 8, I believe it's verse 8. You know something I noticed today? That this was all written before they divided the Bible into chapter and verse. We know that, right? But you know what verse number it is? The verse that says that it was that it was reversed. It's verse 13. The same way that was said. Amen. May not mean anything or not, but it just helps me understand.
Right.
It makes me look at God's ahead of me, and God's got everything under control. Amen. But in Esther 8, verse 8, he told Esther, the king told Esther, he said, write the decree for whatever you want. He gave her that ring, his ring, and said, you ride it for whatever you want. A king didn't do that to a queen.
Right.
A queen didn't have that authority, especially a Jewish king. Queen, by law, she should have been, should not have been in there. She should not have been queen. But remember her name. God concealed her and hid her for the purpose of bringing his people out of it. So when it's sealed with the king's ring, it makes it irrevocable. So we've now been given the keys to the kingdom. Right? Remember when the prodigal son left and he came back? The father said, put a ring on his finger. It was the signet ring, the family ring. You belong. Amen. Praise God. We've been given the keys now to the kingdom. That whatever we bind on earth is already bound in heaven. Whatever we loose on earth is already loose in heaven. So we, just like Esther, the king has given us the authority. And God's going to put Satan away once and for all. It's coming. We were talking the other day. He's going to be cast into the lake of fire. He's going to be, him and his demons are going to be cast into the lake of fire. God's going to put him away once and for all. Amen? Amen. And the chains, he's going to be chained and cast. And he'll never get out. And those who die lost and don't know Jesus, that's going to be your final destination as well. Into the lake of fire. And the Bible says all liars will have their part in the lake of fire. My mom used to say, all liars will have their part in the lake of fire. If you're a liar, you're going to the fire. She used to say that every time. One of us would lie. I won't say tonight, out of the four of us,
Mike.
Who,
Colleen.
There was two that were really, really prone to lie. It wasn't me or Sandy.
I get that.
I didn't say their name. One was worse than the other, and that wasn't Mike. I was afraid to lie. Look, the wrath of Louise Neff.
Come on.
Because I seen the Lord tell on them older ones. Yeah, the Lord would tell Mom where they were at. Colleen was in the Eagles Club once. She was only like 15 or 16. And her friends were members of the Eagles Club. And she went there to a birthday party and she lied and told Mom she was going to that house. And the Lord told Mom she's at the Eagles Club. Mom gets out the yellow pages. Starts calling to all the Eagles Clubs in the area. She got the one right down on Parsons Avenue. And she asked her, Colleen's friend. She came to the phone and she said, hello. And she said, where's Colleen? She said, Miss Leslie? Mom said, yes, you tell Colleen she's got 10 minutes to be outside. I'll be down there to pick her up. Colleen's friend came out and said, now, Miss Leslie, she said, you shut up. Go back in there, she's going home. We're leaving. And Colleen got whipped. Boy, she got beat. So, I'm not going to lie.
Right.
No. Because I see the Lord tell. No, it's good.
It's true.
In my life for a minute, but I confess, I'm sorry.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Yeah. I still got whipped, but not as bad. Right?
Yeah.
But, Jesus. Sorry for that. But God's gonna put Satan away once and for all.
Yep.
But until then, we have to refuse to bow. I refuse to bow because I've been given the authority. I've been given the keys. And he does not have the authority. The first law, the first decree, had to be fulfilled. But Jesus satisfied it, and the second one gave full legal authority to God's people. And that's you and me.
Mm-hmm.
We have the enemy under our feet. That's where he belongs. Doesn't change reality. The battle's still there. You're still going to feel it. He's still going to show up. You still have to be armed and ready. You still have to know that you have the power and the authority over him. Amen?
Amen.
Say, come to the music. Stand to your feet tonight. People they killed in one day. So that's why Purim is on the 14th. 13th was the day that was set for the battle. But they rejoiced the next day on the 14th. So that's why Purim is at sundown tonight. It's really on the 14th of Adar. And it just happens to fall right there this year, which doesn't happen very often. But that's why Purim was the next day, because Esther made the decree that it would be called Purim. And on the 14th day of Adar, for all generations, forever, they would rejoice and celebrate and have a feast. And it says, give food to each other and to give gifts to the poor. So that's why I'm challenging you between tonight and tomorrow night. Don't give the enemy, the works of the enemy, any attention. I want you to think about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Watch yourself. Challenge yourself. And see how many times you catch yourself
right.
giving notion to what the enemy is saying or doing. And think about how easily we do that without even thinking
mm-hmm.
about it.
Right. Yeah.
And sometimes he gets us to that.
Right. Yeah.
So think about that tomorrow. I really want you to take that seriously and prayerfully. And apply it to your walk tomorrow. Don't give the enemy his works any attention. Now remember, it's not guaranteed to be easy peasy. Don't mean that you're just going to sail by through the day. Because remember, he's going to show up for the battle.
Right.
Yeah.
He's going to show up. And he's going to keep roaring. Amen. But he's toothless. And then
he's toothless.
Give something to someone in need. I said on Sunday, this is month of giving for Care Connection. That's a good time to give an offering to Care Connection. Amen? You don't have to give $1,000. You can. Right? Amen. But because that's what Care Connection does, right? It's our outreach that helps the poor. So you know that's what it's going to go for. Amen? So that's really a simple and easy way to do it and get it done. And then you don't have to look for that. Not that that's a bad thing, but you know what I'm saying. Amen. So you can take care of that. Amen. And let's let the enemy know that we know who our God is. And that we know who we are. See, we don't celebrate Purim. It's not a Jewish thing. And again, I've told you before, we don't have to do it. But because we're saved, we can. Because it's not a Jewish thing, it's a God thing. God said, make it that decree for whoever, for your children, your grandchildren, and whoever connects with you. That's us. We're grafted in. Amen. What a blessing. What a blessing that we have. Gain that spiritual advancement. So tonight, if you're here under the sound of my voice, as they get ready to worship, You can't be his unless you give your life to him. You can't be his unless you are saved, unless you give your life to him. So if you're here tonight and you haven't given your life to the Lord, you haven't made that full commitment, I want you to come. But if you're here tonight and you recognize